Now, I'm sorry you don't have a 50-year Gideon standing here. I've only got 46. And I'm happy to say that God has allowed me to serve in this ministry. It has truly been the high point of my life, other than my marriage and the birth of my kids. I love the Lord. I have a passion for the Gideon ministry, and I never say no. Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I am filled with joy to be in this spirit-filled church to speak about the Gideon ministry, your ministry. For you are truly partners in spreading the light of the gospel to the lost. For this church truly accepts the challenge and will reap the rewards mentioned in John chapter 4, 34 and 36. Jesus saith unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. The needs are great. And he that reapeth receiveth wages and gathereth fruit unto life eternal, that both he that soweth and he that reapeth may rejoice together. Anyone involved in Christ's ministry shall reap the reward. And God goes before us so that our ministry never fails. He won't let it. He wouldn't send us out into the world and not bear fruit with that ministry. You're all familiar with the story in Judges chapter 6 through 10, where the weakness of Gideon and his army was used to demonstrate the awesome power of God. I urge you to read these 5 chapters when you have a moment and need a blessing. If ever you doubt yourself, you can read these chapters and know that God will lift you up. Those chapters describe how God uses the weakness of man to demonstrate the almighty power of God. Briefly, those chapters describe how Israel had fallen away and was worshiping Baal. A revival occurred, and this falling away led to God's people being dominated and being oppressed by the Midianites and their allies. And God chose Gideon, a poor farmer, to serve as his instrument to destroy the Midianites. Judges chapter 6, 14 and 15. And the Lord looked upon Gideon, and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? Has he ever told you that? Have not I sent thee? Don't turn him down, or you're really going to forfeit a big blessing. Go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. His response is very much like ours would be. And as a young Christian, I can remember being sort of afraid to witness, sort of afraid that I would not be enough, that I wasn't righteous enough, that I hadn't went far enough on my journey. Leave that to the pastor. Leave that to somebody else. You don't know what it's like to be a Christian until you start stepping out, until you start sharing your faith and saving the lost. Those chapters that I mentioned to you need to be read. But God chose Gideon as his instrument. Gideon was a farmer, the lowest member of a poor family. He was reluctant to lead God's army, and he had absolutely no military experience. But Gideon obeyed God and prepared for battle. He gathered his army of 22,000 men and prepared to take on the Midianites. Judges 7:2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. After the Six-Day War in 1967, I was teaching at Powers High School, and the Jews came. They had an annual tour where they came into the schools and told what life was like. Teenage Jews told what life was like in Israel. And they were wonderful. They weren't political or anything of that nature. And so they were in my class just about the time of lunch hour, and I invited them to the cafeteria to have lunch with me. And then on the way down, I said, there is no question that the Six-Day War demonstrated to God, or demonstrated that God was in favor of the Jews, and he destroyed those Arabs. And the fellow I told that to, if he'd had hind legs, he'd have been up on him. He said, God had nothing to do with that. We did that. We did that. And that's what God is saying. He knew the Jews. He sent these soldiers home. 22,000, too many. I want just a few to take on this vast army of the Midianites. God wanted to show the Jews his power, so he sent 12,000 of the 22,000 man army home. 10,000 remained. So God ordered them to go to the water and drink. 300 put water in their hand and lapped it. God sent the rest of them home and saved the 300 for his army. The rest of the story, I'm just picking selected verses. You really need to read the five chapters. 7 and 8, verse 8. So the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man, unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number, as the sand by the seaside for multitude. They're not fooling around. This is a vast, vast army. And God is taking them on with 300 men. But it gets worse. It gets worse. Verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies. Now, every military general knows you don't divide your troops, especially if you're outnumbered. But he divided them into three companies. And he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers. The Gideon label. A lamp with a flame in it. That's after this battle. Verses 20 to 23. And the three companies, that he gave them a trumpet in one hand and a pitcher in the other. No swords. No bows and arrows. And he split them into groups of 100. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands, the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And they stood every man in his place round about the camp. And all the host of the Midianites cried and ran in terror. In terror is my word. And the 300 blew the trumpets. The Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host. And the host fled to Beth Shittah in Zererath and to the border of Abel Meholah unto Tabith. And the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and out of Asher and out of all Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. They destroyed this vast army with 300 men because the troops, the Midianites, were stabbing themselves in the dark and killing their own army. And then their terror ran in terror. God demonstrating his power. His power. It doesn't take a majority to win the battle. It takes determination and to be prayerfully in God's presence. Amen. The weakness of man turned into an awesome display of God's power. Today, God is still demonstrating his omnipotent power by using the weakness of man, such as the Gideons, to spread his holy word in a mighty way. The gospel is being spread, souls are being saved, lives are being changed, hope is alive. We live in challenging times. Opportunities for witness abound. The need to profess Jesus Christ has never been greater, and the Gideons are dedicated to that sole purpose. Gideons International is an association of evangelical, Christian, and professional men of all denominations. They must be recommended by their pastor. And we work with the churches, under the churches, to complete our mission. Like the Marines, we're always looking for a few good men. With our wives as auxiliaries, we form a strong partnership with a singular purpose of winning souls to Jesus. We operate worldwide and have camps in over 200 countries. We even have a camp in Damascus, Syria, one of the Muslim holy cities. Now those are brave Gideons. It is our aim to place Bibles in the highways and byways of life where the need is greatest. Gideons are primarily known for placing Bibles in hotels and hospitals and prisons. We also have active prison ministries as well as local jail ministries. We distribute to our local firemen, police, to schools and colleges. This year, although it took 72 years to reach 100 million Bibles distributed by the Gideons, this year we went over 100 million Bibles. One Bible at a time. What a joy it is to hand that scripture out and have people see it and be excited about it. And it's, you have not experienced joy until you've opened that back page where the message of salvation is, and led somebody to Jesus Christ. Lives are changed every day by Gideon Bibles. We attempt to distribute to schools, both public and private, but doors are closing. The ACLU threatens schools with lawsuits if they let us in. We mostly distribute from the sidewalks today. It was far different 40 years ago. I started as a Gideon in the Flint camp in 1972, and we got in every school in Genesee County but one. I'm not talking about handing the Bibles out. I'm talking about going in the schools, giving a message of salvation to the students. Now, you cannot mention the word Jesus Christ. In fact, the Bibles we hand out at schools do not have the salvation message at the last page. That is the difference today in this politically correct environment. Many of you are familiar with our Gideon card program. We have a rack in the back of the church just outside the door there. It allows you to dedicate Bibles in memory, in recognition of, or just thinking of you, and there are several other new ones. These Bibles have a service life of 6 years and are an excellent witness on behalf of a loved one. I don't give flowers at funerals anymore. They wither and die, and nobody remembers them a week later. That Gideon Bible is there for 6 years as a witness and as a testimony to that person. I give often cards dedicated in recognition for graduation, for an anniversary. People love them. That is one of our best soul-saving tools that the Gideons have and helps to place Bibles in many of the places where we hand them out. We have now come to the most important part of the message. This is where every one of you can help. Now, I know you're thinking he's going to ask for money now. The most important thing you can do for the Gideon ministry is to pray. Amen. Prayer is one of the keys to the success for this ministry. It is a praying ministry. Every Saturday morning, Gideons all over the world meet for prayer breakfast. It's a highlight of my week. I'm sorry, Pastor. Sunday is a close second. But we meet in earnest prayer. And as we pray, it tells us in the Bible, if we pray together, our prayers are magnified. And think of that. Gideons all over this country, it's 7 in the morning, kneeling down with prayers going up to heaven. That accounts for the Gideons' ministry of handing out over 2 billion scriptures in a little over 100 years. And when you stop to think that it took 72 years to hand out the first 100 million. Pray for us to meet the goals that we have laid out. I'm an officer in the Saginaw camp, and I hear the complaining when we set the goals. That's higher than last year. Yes, and we're going to meet them. Yes, and we're going to meet them with prayer, with effort, with dedication. And they all smile because they're all, every Gideon that attends is dedicated. They are my mentors. They are my mentors. I have never met a bad Gideon. They are Christians, they are loving people, and they are prayerful people. Make this ministry yours completely by putting us on your prayer list. And think of it every day. The challenges have never been greater. The needs are awesome, and we need your help. In order to provide brief reports on our activities and progress, we periodically speak in churches like today. These are fundraising opportunities to help pay for the scriptures handed out. This allows you to be a key ingredient and a full partner in this ministry. And believe me, you are. Believe me, you are. It is Christians like you that are the hope of the world, of the unsaved world especially. 80% of all Christian missionary work is funded by North America. That's why we have to be vigilant against our government. They would love to remove the tax exemption for charitable contributions and dry up our giving so we cannot influence the world. I'll tell you, the best foreign policy ministry the United States has is the Gideon ministry. We have been blessed mightily in Luke 12:48 states, "For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required." Unfortunately, this means if we do not do it, it will not get done. The urgency has never been greater. We live in a world and at a time when the fastest growing religion in the world is the Muslim religion. If that isn't bad enough, our Census Bureau tells us it's the fastest growing religion in the United States. Think of that. Billions not knowing the redemptive grace of Jesus Christ and the power that he has in our lives. I hate to tell you where I'd be if I didn't have Jesus, but I am filled with joy in spite of this world, in spite of watching the news. I'm involved in the good news ministry and proud of it. But billions do not know of the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. And we have our work cut out for us. We need your help. Your partnership is more important than ever. Now let us turn to the book of beginnings. I'm going to read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." That division lasts today. There is a light in the world, and there is darkness. And the light is Jesus Christ in the Bible, and the darkness is Satan. Without light, there would be no physical life from a scientific point of view. Without the light of the gospel, there is no real spiritual life. There is no sun for warmth without the light. No plants for oxygen, we couldn't exist. As it says in verse 2, the earth was without form. It was empty. It was void. Empty without light. That is what people's lives are like when they are cut off from the spiritual light of the gospel. They are void, empty, and without hope. We as Christians need to step up and fill that void with the truth of the gospel. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 12. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe." The opportunity for salvation is there. And we need to provide the light of the gospel to the lost. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Aren't you glad you're a believer? Amen. Aren't you glad that you live with hope? That you live with a confidence that you one day are going to have eternal life with Jesus Christ? Christ is our true light. We are blessed by serving him. But millions stumble in the darkness. They are cut off from the light. They are living empty lives which they seek to fill. Now, I taught history, and in my studies, there is one constant in every society that's ever been known to man. Every culture, tribe, or civilization is eager to find God. We are born with this innate desire to seek and find God. People that lack the true God will invent their own. Lacking the true light of the Bible, man is easily led astray. Satan is the author of confusion, and he is eager to help man fill that void and lead them astray. Mysticism, Buddhism, Hinduism, astrology, New Age, the Muslim faith are all attempts to fill that void. I speak not out of intolerance, but compassion for lost souls. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." We need to help him. We need to fulfill his great commission by getting the word out to the lost. Should we dismay? God forbid. Look at Joel chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. "Put ye in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come, get you down, for the press is full. The vats overflow, for their wickedness is great. Multitudes. Multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision." Time is getting short. Time is getting short. Now, I'd like to give you a testimony, but it's too long, I think, to give. I have one. I'll save it for the next time. I do appreciate being in this church, giving this message. God has been so good, and he was so good when he led us here. The harmony in this church and the spiritual leadership that we receive is unsurpassed in all the years I have been a Christian. I've never seen anything like it. I love to be here every Sunday night, and every Wednesday. Don't make it all the time, but I make it when I can. And I thank you, and I thank all the love and support that I have seen in with you folks. And I will continue to do the best that I can as a Gideon to share his word and his ministry. Now, you all know that every dime that the Gideons collect goes to buy Bibles. Nothing but Bibles. No overhead. No wages. Nothing. They all pay for Bibles. I don't know of any investment that 100% goes towards the main purpose of that organization, except for the Gideon. On top of that, everything we do, we have an absolute guarantee from our Lord and Savior and our Father in heaven. Isaiah chapter 55:11. "So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." It doesn't get any better than that. Now, I hope that everybody in this church today has made a positive commitment and a decision to accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It is not good enough to be a good man or woman. Getting you to church here is the first step. But you need personally to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And like Isaiah, guaranteeing what happens with God's word, I tell you from my own personal experience, I was a wreck before I knew Jesus. And now I am just totally filled with joy. I know whatever I am going to heaven and spend eternity with my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. And if it's the lowest spot in heaven, that's better than being the richest man on earth. Amen. Come to Jesus. Come to the altar. If you have the slightest doubt that you have made that commitment in the past, or if you're thinking about making it, now's the time. God bless you all, and thank you so much.